station. We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, live from the ESPN West Palm Studios. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Our Inter Miami Herons, hot as a stove. All they do is win. The Herons in their last four fixtures. In their last four fixtures, Inter Miami winners in three of them. Without the great one, Lionel Messi. Welcome on in, folks, to Pink Smoke, where we talk everything and anything Inter Miami. We had two fixtures for our Herons that we are going to be going over throughout the show. We'll go through the injury report presented by Lytle Smith, Fronrath, and Ivy. And we will continue to go around the MLS, as we always do, with our good friends at Audi. But I did want to start the show talking Inter Miami and Cavalier SC, CONCACAF Champions Cup, because this was a week ago today. A week ago today, Inter Miami hosted Cavalier SC at Chase Stadium. And I originally thought this was going to be a 5-0 affair, darn near a 6-0 affair. I didn't think Lionel Messi was going to be playing in the game. I didn't think that Inter Miami necessarily needed Lionel Messi to play in the game. But it was a close first half. It was a very close first half with Inter Miami and Cavalier. And Cavalier, by the way, Cavalier SC, the Caribbean champion, folks. Meaning they were the best team in the Caribbean this year. They came out of that CONCACAF region. And they're a very young team, a very young team. And a couple of times, those young legs, they were able to get out onto the break against Inter Miami in that first half. And they got in before. They got in before halftime. And it seemed like that they had some momentum going in to the second half. And lo and behold, VAR, which, if you're unfamiliar with the term, it's what we use in soccer to see if somebody was offsides, if maybe someone had a handball, to relook at a tackle that happened in the box. Nope. This time, the shoulder of a Cavalier SC player was offsides and the goal was ruled not to count. So it was 0-0 heading into halftime. I got my good buddy Damian Perez here with me. He's helping me produce the show tonight. And Damian, we were texting during this matchup. It was an odd first half. Let's put it that way. I know they won the game 2-0. We'll get to the second half. But that first half, we were all scratching our heads a little bit.
Yeah, man. It was pretty scary. I got to be honest. It was pretty scary because, you know, soccer is the sport where it's the theme. Anything can happen. You
right.
know? And it kind of reminded me of last year's Atlanta matchup in the playoffs. Kind of how Inter Miami went in with this confidence, thinking they were going to easily beat a lot of. And I don't know if the team was, but a lot of the fans on the outside, there was a lot of confidence going into that playoff run.
But Damian, as there should have been, right? At 70, they had over 70 points in the MLS table. It was the most in MLS history. I don't think anybody thought that they were going to be losing the league. But that was the first time that Lionel Messi and Suarez and company, Busquets, you know, the big four, played quote-unquote postseason football. Because how you do it in Europe, you play in Champions League. If you're not in Champions League, they're different competitions.
It's a knockout.
And I understand they treat the playoffs like its own competition and it's fun. But we've talked extensively on how the playoff system within the MLS is something that only American soccer does. Who wins the table is who takes home the trophy around the world.
Absolutely. And that's the difference. I feel like that's kind of the adjustment. But at the end of the day, you know, what the team Inter Miami had last year, I don't think there could be any excuses at the end of the day. I think whether it was a straight up, you know, league how it is in Europe, or if it was a playoff series how it was here, Inter Miami had all the tools to win that. I know there was some injuries here and there, but the point is that we can't be overlooking teams, you know?
Correct.
Every team, you have to have the same approach for every team. You have to be concentrated. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, a team in the MLS or a team out of Champions League. You have to have the same approach because soccer is a sport where, like, you kind of painted the picture. This Cavaliers soccer club, they had nothing to lose. They had nothing to lose. They had some young legs ready to, you know, be on the field with players like Suarez, Busquets, Messi, Alba. I know Messi didn't play, but nonetheless, you're in Miami, and this is an experience for them as well. So they had nothing to lose, and they showed it.
And the theme of that team was to make sure Lionel Messi plays in Jamaica. What they were playing for was to make the great one, Lionel Messi, have to play in that second leg in Jamaica. Now, it's 2-0. By the way, Javier Mascherano confirmed it. This is from ESPN. Lionel Messi will be traveling with the team to Jamaica to face Cavalier SC in the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And it's Independence Park in Kingston. So, you know, I told you the Caribbean Champions,
sold-out
they play
stadium
in Kingston. Yeah, and everybody that is anybody, I feel like, in Jamaica is going to be at that matchup. And this is, I think this is a legacy thing for Messi. Would you agree? He's never played in Jamaica. I can't promise you he's going to be in the starting 11. But Damian, I told you and Elias Bustamante, our good buddy, with Damian Perez, who handles hosting gigs on 760 AM ESPN Deportes, I told both of you guys, man, Messi didn't want to play these games. I think it was that simple. I don't think he's injured. Now, if something comes out of an injury, I'll have to eat a crow on that. This is a long season.
Absolutely.
This is a very long season. And I know fans are frustrated when they go to these games and Messi doesn't play, but I want to urge fans this. This is a fun team. You played with 10 men for darn near 75 minutes, which we'll get to Sunday against this past Sunday against Charlotte FC, and you won the game. This is an Inter Miami side that is absolutely loaded with talent everywhere. Yeah. I know the main event is Lionel Messi and seeing one of the goats of soccer on the pitch, but this is still a really fun team. And I think that Messi had this in mind, this second leg in Jamaica in mind, and I think this is a big legacy game for him coming up tomorrow in Jamaica.
Yeah, and that's honestly been the theme since last year, because last year Lionel Messi had the extended absence. I think it was for his hamstring, and then after Copa America he sprained his ankle, so he was out for combined, I think it was a month or so.
Right.
And during that month, we saw an Inter Miami that actually gained in the standings. They actually had a winning record. They went out and won games against, if I'm not mistaken, it was Montreal and Montreal, which is a tough place, long place to travel. They also beat teams like Philly in that run, and that was all without Lionel Messi. So, great point. I think this Inter Miami has more of an identity than just Messi. They've brought in a bunch of young players, whereas in the MLS in the past, we saw that players kind of came after they were, you know, maybe it was their last contract before retirement. That's not the case with this Inter Miami team. You know, Tadeo Jende, he's well in his peak, if I'm not mistaken. He's 26, 27 years old, coming from Celta Vigo. Tadeo, I'm sorry, that was Agende. Segovia.
Yeah, Telasco Segovia.
Another young Venezuelan.
Segovia had a brace in the first half against Houston, against an MLS opponent. And Tadeo Allende has now scored in three straight fixtures.
And he scored some, like, goal of the week.
I called the Houston game. I was lucky enough to be on the call. Shout out to our communications director over at Inter Miami, Juan Pinzon, our content director here, Brian Rowitz, and Ken Lavica, who does the play-by-play for us. They were gracious enough to let me call a game. Brother, one of my favorite calls ever that I have calling soccer, and I've called a lot of games, is that Allende goal.
That was a beauty.
It was unbelievable. It was a finesse shot from his left foot
on
the left
side. He did not have the angle to do that.
Brother, it was the left side. So, opening up the curtain a little bit. If you guys don't know what a finesse shot is, all right, say if you're on the left side of the box going to goal. A finesse is usually with your right foot because it goes right to left and it hooks
curve
in. It's got the curve. Allende did that with his left foot. It went left to right behind the keeper and went upper 90 on the right side. It was an unbelievable goal. And then this past Sunday, and we'll talk about that Charlotte FC matchup, Wilfred Zaha, a great international player, was on display as well. But Allende, on the goal that was the decisive goal to give them the win against Charlotte, he backheeled it. So Busquets had a long through ball. It was either Alba, I think it was Alba. Alba had a long through ball to Suarez. Suarez played on Allende. Allende backheeled it back to Suarez. Suarez gave it right back to Tadio Allende, and Allende went across the keeper, 1-0, all with 10 men.
And on that
goal, special stuff.
On that goal, the first touch with his chest, you know, it was perfect, laid out. All he had to do, his second touch was a shot on goal, and that's all key to his first touch. So obviously a player that not only is young and has a bright future, but that has clicked well with this Inter Miami team. You know, right away, right off the bat, you mentioned it. The play was him and Suarez, and it's usually a play that takes a few, you know, weeks, maybe months of chemistry building.
Right.
But that was right off the bat. Agenda just kind of came in and fit into this team like a glove.
Jumped him. And specifically on that play, certainly too, Tadio Allende jumped Charlotte FC. But let's get back to that second half now against Cavalier SC, because we were all a little worried. As Damian says, you were a little nervous heading into that second half with how Inter Miami looked in that first half. But Tadio Allende was able to open the scoring up. It was an assist from Sergio Busquets. The 61st minute, Inter Miami finally saw the goal. And then Luis Suarez put it away in the 83rd. And now it is 2-0 on that aggregate as it goes back to Jamaica with the round of 16. So that was the matchup, the CONCACAF round of 16, first leg matchup between Inter Miami and Cavalier SC. We will preview the second matchup coming up later on in the show in Jamaica. And as I said, it's looking like Lionel Messi, he's traveling with the team. And my best guess, I don't have sources, I didn't speak to anybody, this is just my assumption. My best guess is that we see Lionel Messi in that starting 11 after missing the last three fixtures for Inter Miami. Let's get to that MLS matchup number three, match day three, week three in the MLS. And Inter Miami won that game 1-0 against Charlotte FC at Chase Stadium. I was on site with the great one, Ken LaVica. I was able to do pregame, halftime, and postgame live at the stadium. And Damian, Chase Stadium is a special place.
It's a beautiful place.
It is a special place. And that was my first. I'm embarrassed to say this because, you know, for these games, I'm in the production room more often than not, managing the board and then working things out with Ken and our on-site producer, Oscar Gonzalez from Inter Miami. But I was able to be there for the first time. It was my first Inter Miami game there in person. Obviously, I was on the call for Houston, but that was an away game. That was my first Chase Stadium experience, and it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, it's a great stadium. It's smaller, so like you kind of feel like you have more of like a closer touch with the players, with the field.
Yep.
And it's just very vibrant. I love the color waves too. I love the black and pink.
Yep.
All over the stadium.
Dude, we have sick jerseys. Sick jerseys and sick kits.
Yep. And even our fans, you know, they're in United States, maybe soccer's not as passionate as other sports, but in Inter Miami, they show up for sure.
Yeah, and that place, there wasn't a seat to be had on Sunday, as well as our Herons were able to win 1-0 against Charlotte. Now, we do have highlights. This is, as I've mentioned, our good buddy Ken LaVica, who we really take for granted. He does such a great job with the play-by-play. Let's get things started, Damian Perez. So this was the first shot on goal. This was Benjamin Kromoski. Kromoski had an open look in the box. Damian, if he puts this anywhere but right at the keeper, it's a goal, and it had enough power. Let's hear our good buddy Ken LaVica calling the first shot on target for Inter Miami.
Allende, he had a pass deflected, but it's to Kromoski, left board, and he blasted it right into the chest of Christian Colleen. But there's the first shot on goal for Inter Miami. Kromoski was out at a fortuitous bounce. He couldn't direct it. He put a big foot into it, plenty of power, but it was right at the keeper.
And I like what Kromoski gives this team. Kromoski is a youth player who came from the Inter Miami Academy. He's 20, just turned 20 years old. And I think he's someone that the Herons can rely on. He's been the starter on that right wing while Lionel Messi has not been playing in these games. With Fafa Pico having a knock after that NYCFC, that was week one, match day one within the MLS. With him having a knock, Benjamin Kromoski has been able to step up and look pretty good, Damian. That first goal against Houston, he had the breakup play, which led to Suarez passing it to Segovia on his first goal in the first half. But I really like what Kromoski has given to this club early this year.
He's a player with a very high work rate. You know, he's always working. He plays that midfielder role, but like you see him defending in the box. You see him get. You know who he reminds me of? He's very similar to Redondo.
Yeah.
I think they both do a similar job.
And I believe Kromoski used to be a central midfielder, but he's kind of taken on that right side, right winger role.
His natural position would be center midfielder,
right,
for example. In FIFA, he's a center midfielder, if we're taking that as a reference.
And I use him in my, career mode, my manager career mode.
But nonetheless, like you said, homegrown, not just Inter Miami Academy. You know, he's been from here. He played for Weston, so he knows the area. I feel like he feels it, and it's like you can sense that passion from him whenever he's on the field. He gives it his all, and you know, he's also a player that if he finds himself in a threatening area, you know, he's got the skills to capitalize.
So that was the first shot on target in the game. Let's move on to Inter Miami's second shot on goal in the first half. Let's take a listen to our good buddy, Ken Lavica.
Here's a long ball forward on the chase, Jordi Alba. Left of the box. Left attacking third. Swipes to the back post. A great ball. Kromoski was there tracking it. And it's a headed clearance out of play for Charlotte FC. It's going to be a corner for Inter Miami from the far side, all made by Jordi Alba in that nifty creative delivery.
I like what Inter Miami does with Alba, Damian, because obviously on paper, Javier Mascherano has four at the back. But let's be honest. When they have the ball, there's three at the back and Jordi Alba's up front with the attack.
And that's why it's important to have players like Kromoski, because when players like Jordi Alba go up, which they tend to do a lot, they like to get on the attacking position. There's got to be someone that has the lungs to cover.
Right.
And players like Kromoski, they just play that role so perfectly. Kromoski, Redondo, Yannick Bright is another one. He was all over the field last game. But absolutely, I think Jordi Alba, he's placed on the field, is a left back, but you know, he plays like if he was a number 10.
And we do have sound of Yannick Bright. We're not going to play that just yet because we still have to probably get to the biggest moment in the game other than the goal that made it 1-0 was Oscar Ustari, the goalkeeper for Inter Miami, being shown straight red. This straight red came in the 38th minute. So keep in mind, folks, there was 2 minutes of extra time. We're like 7 minutes away from going into the locker room. But Oscar Ustari, goalkeeper for Inter Miami, leaves his lines, as we say in soccer. He leaves his line and he tries to play a ball and he makes a mistake.
Here's a ball delivered to the center stripe. And it was who threw it forward. And then Ustari came up to challenge Zaha outside the area. And we have a straight red shown to Oscar Ustari for the second straight home match in MLS play. Inter Miami's been shown a straight red. Ustari came up to challenge Zaha, who got behind the defense on a beautifully struck ball from Pep Biel at midfield. And a straight red has been shown. And Inter Miami once again playing behind a man in a first half.
Now, Wilfried Zaha, for those of you who are unfamiliar, I talked about him on episode number 3 of Pink Smoke. But Wilfried Zaha, a Crystal Palace legend, an Ivory Coast legend, had a stint with United for about 4 games, and I don't think I've ever seen someone get sold so quickly than Wilfried Zaha in his time at United. But regardless, a very well-known player. I thought he was great in the game. I also thought this was a little rough. This red card was a little rough. I thought it was a bit of a flop, Damian, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but
seeing the replay, it was a bit of a flop to me.
I think it's kind of 50-50. I think it was also reckless on Ustari.
You can't leave your lines. I agree with you there.
There was no I get it. He's in on goal, but he didn't have a straight angle. You know, he kind of had to angle himself center, so it was more fading to the right. I think if his next touch would have been very telling. But there was a chance that the center backs could have caught up.
Yep.
So I think it was a bit premature, a bit reckless. But, you know, there was contact, whether he sold it or not. If someone goes down in that position, the ref, hands tied, has to give a red. It's kind of the rule.
It was how Charlotte plays, Damian. They bait you. They sit back, they defend, and then they go on the counter.
Yeah.
And the two guys that there are going to be largely involved on the counters, their striker Ajiman, the 33-year-old United States striker, and Wilfried Zaha, who still has pace to burn, even though he's on the back nine of his international career. And that's exactly what happened here. Westwood, their attacker, their central midfielder, had a nice lob pass after intercepting a ball, and Ajiman and Zaha were there. Ustari, who's a veteran, to your point, you can't leave your lines like that. I'm surprised a veteran like Ustari decided to leave his lines like that and make a play like that, but It is what it is. And the question Damian got brought up is this team reckless? It's a very Damian. The first couple of matchups within the MLS and within CONCACAF, the Champions Cup round of 16. Now there have been a lot of cards given out for Inter Miami. Are you concerned with the card amount? I'll give you my take first, because I think this team knows that they're better than most of the teams that they face. Now, you said that's what did them in last year in the playoffs against Atlanta United, and I think there's something to be said there, but there's a different vibe with Javier Mascherano. I don't know. I think the players that he might be the players that he brought in, like Allende, like Segovia, like so many of these players that have able to have instant success. I think I'm overlooking the penalties at this point. I'm kind of foo-fooing them. Oh, they're not a big deal. As long as you're getting results, you won't hear me complain about the cards.
Yeah, but it's kind of like testing your luck in a way. And at the beginning of the season, that's kind of what we mentioned with Inter Miami. Will they be mature enough? Will they make immature mistakes? Will they kind of shoot themselves in the foot? And that's kind of what we've seen at the start of this season. However, we've had the talent to overcome it. And that's crazy to say, because Messi hasn't been on the field for the last two games. So it's very telling to not just the job that Mascherano has done, but the recruitment on the back end and on the offseason too, because bringing players in like Allende, Telasco, Segovia, they have been impact players. And not even Picot, yep.
He hasn't
been available, but the short time that he's been on the field, he's shown that he's been an impact player. So I think it's much credit to the recruitment, much credit to the new signings, but I think we can't keep testing our lucks. We've got to tighten things up in the back. It's always a mistake in the first half. It's always a mistake.
And it's always that, you know, with Toto Aviles, yes. It happened in the 20th. He had that goal in the 6th minute against NYCFC in match week number 1 in the MLS, and then he had a bad tackle in the box and he got sent off. So I agree with you. It has to stop. There's no ifs, ands, or buts there. But if you're going to win,
Yeah, you know, win's a win.
We'll take all three.
Absolutely.
And I know they didn't get three against NYCFC, but that's neither here nor there. All right, let's continue in the second half because we're getting very close to the goal. Here is Charlotte FC in the second half. They had a big chance on goal. Damian, they had a couple of chances, obviously, with Inter Miami being down to 10, but this was probably one of their closer ones. Let's take a listen to Ken.
Try and find the right combinations to keep this 1-0 scoreline intact. Turnover, though. Here's Hajiman, right side of the box. Fed it through, making a run, and putting it off the far left post was Charlotte FC. Oh, goodness. That was an incredible take through traffic. Rocco Rios Novo watched it dribble by him, and it hit the left post. And we stay 1-0. Charlotte FC almost drew level.
So Hajiman was able to get in behind the defense. He made a beautiful pass to the right side of the box to Byrne, and Byrne went off bar. I thought that was the opener.
Yeah, and
that was it. Listen, I am a very biased Inter Miami fan. I understand that, but we were lucky not to be down 1-0 after that.
And that would have been catastrophic, really, with 10 men,
right.
one goal down. Like at that point, it's very tough because Charlotte, being a man up, they can even close themselves in. Not only do they have a man advantage, but they're parking the bus. And we
totally
see that a lot in soccer.
Now, let's hear the goal. Damian, this is funny because this happened in the... I want to make sure I have my time right here. It was right out of halftime. So it was the 46th minute.
It was literally
But it was 30 seconds. Ken just got it back. Let's put it this way. Ken just got back to the broadcast and this happened.
We are back underway, second half. Early opportunity, Allende. He scores right at the onset of the second half. A ball pushed forward into the attacking third. Allende got behind the defense. A right-footed finish. 1-0. Inter Miami seconds into the second half, down to 10 men. Inter Miami 1, Charlotte FC 0.
The ball started rolling, and Ken goes, "Welcome back, everybody. We got a goal!" It was so funny.
Why can't it always be like that?
I know, right? Oscar Gonzalez, our engineer, our on-site engineer, does a great job. Him and I were laughing. We were like, oh my God, just totally jumped him, Damian. Totally took him by surprise on that. And here we are. It's very early. It's very early. And I'm assuming one of the big four is probably going to have the best seasons for Inter Miami this year. But I'm calling my shot. Damian Perez, our Herons have played. Hang on. Six games?
Yep.
Two against, you've had three MLS. You've had two against Sporting Kansas City and one against the Caribbean champions, Cavalier SC.
And two without Messi.
Correct. Three. Houston. Three. Houston.
Cavaliers.
And Charlotte. And yes. Okay. Tadio Allende has been the MVP. I said it. He's been the MVP of this
season.
Season
ends today. Tadio Allende MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been the MVP.
You can't argue against it because in moments like the game against Charlotte where you really thought the game was ending in a draw, at best case scenario, out of nowhere, you know, Tadeo Allende and Suarez, you know, yep. They kind of, I want to say, they bought us out. They really bought
they
us
did.
Out because I don't know if Inter Miami would have won if they didn't get that opportunity. There wasn't much in that game.
Now, how about if you're, now, Tadeo Allende is on loan. From Celta Vigo. He's a loan player, which means he's going to have to go back to his mother club back at the end of the season, which is Celta Vigo. They are in La Liga, which is the first league in Spain. They're licking their chops watching him play this good in the MLS.
Yeah. I mean, we saw him with Diego Gomez, too, last year.
Right.
Diego Gomez, you know, before he got to Inter Miami, I wouldn't say he was nobody, but he wasn't really the most known player. After the season, you know, Brighton's knocking on the door. And similar to Tadeo Allende, sometimes you just need that, you know, change of landscape, that fresh air. And this, it looks like Tadeo Allende is like the best moment, I don't want to say of his career, but it's definitely up there.
And this is his best, and obviously he's had a great career to get to this point. But I dare say, Damian Perez, this is the best run of fixtures he's had in his entire professional career. All right, let's wrap up the highlights because obviously – Damian mentioned it, when you go up, right? Like, when a team has 10 men, if you're the team who has 10 men or you're the team who scores, you park the bus after that. Inter Miami, folks, yeah, you know, you have 11 usually, but with Oscar Ustari being sent off and Benjamin Kromoski having to come off and Rocco Rios Novo having to come on as a new goalkeeper, you had 10 men. Javier Mascherano had 8 guys, Damian, on that first line box the entire second half. And Charlotte FC had the ball for 40 straight minutes after that goal. You had your two defenders and Ruiz who subbed on and Redondo who subbed on, your defensive mids. They were running around the passes, but you had 8 guys on that line. And one of those 8 that were on that line in the box holding the fort down was Yannick Bright.
What a game.
Let's hear Yannick Bright. And this was a win saver. Obviously, if Charlotte were to score here in the 85th minute, they would have tied the game. They might have gotten a result. But here's Yannick Bright saving the win and the 3 points for Inter Miami.
Byrne charging hard right of the box. Here's a cross. Rios Novo, he deflected it. There's a fight for it to the edge of the 6-yard area. And Yannick Bright saved the day. Saha trapped it under his right foot, trying to gain control. He had an open goal in front of him. Bright challenged him, and it rolled along the end line for a corner. Yannick Bright pumps his fist. That was a major league play from Yannick Bright.
Now, I got to shout out one of our marketing consultants here at ESPN West Palm, Lucas Rubio, who played college soccer at New Hampshire. He played with Yannick Bright.
That's amazing.
How about that? I'm like, Lucas, he went to New Hampshire? This guy's the real deal. He goes, Riz, New Hampshire, no slouches in soccer, but... I was surprised to hear that because Yannick Bright is a hell of a player, as we just heard on that.
Yeah, and Yannick Bright is a player that was also drafted by Inter Miami. So this is another player, you know, I mentioned giving credit to the recruitment staff, to the players that are bringing, to the staff that's bringing in these players. And Yannick Bright is another testimony. You know, I think if Allende was the player of the match for obvious reasons, gave us the win. But if I had to give a close runner up, easily Yannick Bright.
So those are the highlights, folks, that'll wrap up our Charlotte FC coverage here, our Inter Miami versus Charlotte FC coverage of that game. Ken did a great job on the play-by-play. And like I said, man, I loved being there at Chase Stadium. That was my first experience. I did the pregame, halftime, and postgame there. It was a lot of fun watching our Herons get the win against Charlotte FC. A lot of help from Tadeo Allende and a game saver by Yannick Bright. Inter Miami played with 10 men the whole time after the Oscar Ustari straight red in the 38th minute. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, folks, we'll go through the Lytle and Smith injury report. We'll go through the Lytle and Smith injury report when we return. A couple of knocks for Inter Miami. Fafa Pico still dealing with some things. So we'll see who is injured for Inter Miami right now. And we'll look ahead a little bit to that fixture coming up in Jamaica right here on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke. Live from the ESPN West Palm Studios, here's Mike Rizzo.
Pink Smoke, folks, episode number 4. Inter Miami winners against Cavalier SC and Charlotte FC last week. That was the CONCACAF round of 16 matchup, leg number 1 versus the Caribbean champ in Cavalier SC. A 2-0 win at home at Chase Stadium, and then another 1-0 win when they were down to 10 men against Charlotte FC. Inter Miami has won their last 4 fixtures. They are hot as a stove, even without Lionel Messi playing in 3 of the 4. What's Messi up to? Is it, what's going on with Messi? What's going on with some of the players that are injured? Now, I don't think Lionel Messi is hurt. There are speculations, but nothing has been reported by the team. There have been speculations that Lionel Messi might be hurt. I personally think that Lionel Messi is just resting, but there are some guys that are hurt. Let's hit our injury report. This is the Inter Miami injury report presented by our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Let's do the Inter Miami injury report.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it. One right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
As we said, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, folks, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Your Inter Miami injury report. Fafa Pico is on that injury report. He got hurt in that game against NYCFC. We'll see when he is going to be returning. I am seeing late March. You know, Damian Perez, a lot of these times these soccer reports, it's pure speculation. You don't get access to the manager like you do in other sports like NBA, NFL, and whatnot. So late March for Fafa Pico. Up next is Marcelo Wigan, and we call him Cello. What happened? I still don't know. Was it that Sporting Kansas City game where Cello got hurt?
I don't know. I love the depth, but take your time, Cello.
Because you like Ian Frey.
He's just...
I want justice for Cello.
He's really growing into that role, Ian Frey.
Tell that kid to shoot when he's in front of net for me, Damian Perez.
I agree with that.
And I'm talking
about... We'll work on it, though.
I'm talking about the game Ian Frey had against Cavalier SC. Kid was wide open on net, and he dove.
Beautiful play to get open, too. It was beautiful. Like, he just beat 2 men with, like, a very slick touch right in front of net, and he dove. I don't understand.
Why? Why are you diving? But Cello, Marcelo Wigan on that injury report. So Fafa Pico, Marcelo Wigan. Another one, Maxi Falcone. He is expected to be back in early April. This is another one of those knocks where, you know, Falcone played. He started in the game against Cavalier SC. So he had a couple of knocks come from that CONCACAF Champions Cup. And I think that's what is taking precedent right now for Javier Mascherano. That tournament, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, I think is the most important thing in their eyes right now.
Yeah, and by the way, Falcone back at practice today.
Limited. Oh, Damian's got the inside scoop.
Limited, but he was back. And that's just one of the tournaments. This is a long season. This is a very long season. So that's why when we talk about Mascherano being smart with players' minutes, this is what we're referring to, you know? It's a very long season. It's not just MLS and CONCACAF Champions. We also have the Club World Cup. There's also Leagues Cup. So it's a very strenuous season. I think you just got to play it smart, play where you can play. And Inter Miami has got off to a great start. So we're looking good.
And then, Damian, the final man on the injury report, Robert Taylor. Robert Taylor on the injury report. He is expected early April as well. So that is the Inter Miami injury report, presented by our great friends and partners, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Folks, they've been representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Remember that name and our good friends when you are injured, or if you know anybody that has been injured. And I don't want to say extensive injury report, but certainly, Fafa Pico, a guy, Damian, who I think is going to be heavily involved once he's healthy. We've seen him play for like 5 minutes. He played like what? Toto scored the goal. Avile scored the goal in the 6th minute. I think Fafa got injured in like the 10th minute.
Yeah, and it, like you said,
that was the first game of the year.
Fafa Picolt, similar to Agenda, they're players who are, they're just very dangerous in different ways. You know, like they can take you down the line. They can receive the ball at their feet. You know, they can create. So similar to Agenda, I think Fafa Picolt is of the same cloth, playing down that wing, and they're always going to be a threat playing with Suarez and Messi.
That was your injury report, as I said, presented by our good friends over at Lytle, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Remember those names, folks. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Let's take a quick timeout. Right now, folks, there is a bit of soccer news, not necessarily Inter Miami news, but Champions League, Damian Perez. Oh, Champions man. League. We are in PKs for the second time in 2 days. Now, your lovely Liverpool went down. I hate to say I kind of was rooting for it, Damian, but I'm not going to rub salt into the wound. The fact is Liverpool still has a chance, a huge and very much a good chance to win the Premier League. But this is the second straight game. This is Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. They're in penalties. It is currently 1-1 right now, and Jude Bellingham is stepping up to the ball. What an incredible round of fixtures we've had.
Oh, man, I've been kind of like looking at this game like while producing the show, being on the show, and this game has been back and forward. You know, Vinicius missed a penalty. It's just been nonstop action, and it's come down to penalties. Like, similar to how you mentioned it, Liverpool was not the best team in both matchups, we can say.
Yep, yep.
We're kind of seeing the same thing with Real Madrid here.
We are. And, Damian, I know you love Darwin, but, God, Darwin missing that. It broke my heart.
It really broke my heart.
Only him. Honest to God, only him. He took too long, by the way. His technique was wrong there.
I just don't think it made sense. I don't think he should have been put in a position to take the penalty. I think he should have started that game. I don't know why Jota starts.
You're
over.
Not a Jota guy, though.
He hasn't scored since 2021. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the production that you get from Jota doesn't. You shouldn't be benching players like Darwin Nunez and Gakpo, because Jota doesn't score, but he also doesn't. He doesn't have that work rate that Darwin Nunez and Gakpo do. Yep. I think they're just way more versatile. They bring more to the game, and overall, they're just more dangerous than Jota, in my opinion.
Folks, let's take a timeout. This is Pink Smoke. We're going to go around the MLS, presented by our good friends at Audi. Make sure you get a look at that Q6 e-tron at your local South Florida Audi dealers. But I'll tell you more about Audi, and we'll go around the MLS presented by our good friends in just a bit. You're listening to Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke. Live from the ESPN West Palm Studios, here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome back, folks. Pink Smoke. Episode number 4, our final segment. It is almost that time to go around the MLS with our good friends at Audi. Folks, if you need, you want to show up to Chase Stadium in style and make a statement, make it that brand new Q6 e-tron. Visit your local South Florida Audi dealers today. That is your local South Florida Audi dealers. Now, Damian Perez, we do have to update. This has been one of the crazier penalty shootouts I've seen in a long time between two teams. And
I'm so glad to be a neutral.
Real Madrid just ended the game. Real Madrid just won the game in penalties. It was Rudiger.
He also had a play where he saved a wide open goal for Atletico Madrid.
He did. Yeah. And how about, bro, Atletico got called. I believe, Damian, we didn't have sound. It looked like an illegal touch by Julian Alvarez.
Julian Alvarez was stepping up to take it. And as he plants the plant foot, just slips, gets the slightest of touch before he kicks it. And that's a double touch. That's illegal.
Wow.
No goal.
And then Marcos Llorente, who's pretty good at, could do it all.
He bailed out Lucas Vasquez.
He goes bar down and it misses. And Lucas Vasquez had what a crazy penalty shootout, folks. Real Madrid advancing to the next round in the Champions League knockout matchup. And Kylian Mbappe and Llorente getting into it. There are a lot of heated matchups that happened in that fixture. But it is time to go around the MLS with our good friends at Audi.
Now it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
As I said, folks, if you want to make a statement, if you want to be seen, get that Q6 e-tron because it's more than just a fantastic electric vehicle. It is a way of life. That Q6 is a way of life. Once you get in it, once you smell it, my God, the brand new car smell, what beats that? Get to your local South Florida Audi dealer now and get that brand new Q6 e-tron and pull up into that lot at Chase Stadium in style. Let's go around the MLS. Let's check in on that Eastern Conference, Damian Perez. The Philadelphia Union, I think, have been the
surprise.
They've been the most surprising team in the MLS this year. Three games, all 3 points. They will be playing Nashville in their next coming up fixture. And Nashville on the year only has 3 points. They have 4 points. They won a game and drew one and lost one. So forgive me for thinking that the Union and that wagon continues. In second in the Eastern Conference, the Inter-Miami Herons. The Herons with 7 points. They are tied with the Columbus Crew. FC Cincinnati with 6. DC United, who we'll get to in a second because that is who Inter-Miami is going to be playing coming up on Sunday. That's Atlanta United. I apologize. Get my Uniteds mixed up. Damian, forgive me. I'm a miserable Manchester United fan. So, that's why I'm getting my Uniteds mixed up. But DC United, 5 points on that table. That is your top five. Philadelphia, Inter-Miami, Columbus, FC Cincinnati, and DC United. Let's move on to that Western Conference. A lot of fixtures coming up here. They're coming at you hot, and they're coming at you fast. And I mentioned that we are going to be talking a lot of Atlanta United and Inter-Miami because that is the matchup we are going to be seeing on Sunday. The Western Conference, Vancouver, another surprise team, yeah. Damian Perez. Vancouver with 9 points. What I think is the most surprising about Vancouver is they got a draw at home against Monterrey.
Correct.
And Monterrey is a Liga MX powerhouse.
One of the favorites to win CONCACAF Champions.
And they got a result. Now, I can't promise you they're going to go into Mexico and
that's
come out with
story.
A result.
Dude. A team from Vancouver going into Mexico.
I got a shout out. Damian, my friend.
That's a trip.
My friend Greg, who's been watching CONCACAF soccer with me for the longest time, he goes, Riz, no chance they get a result in Mexico. He goes, they'll get smoked. They'll get smoked. I would love to see Monterrey. And listen, this is the Inter-Miami and me talking and the American.
I'm rooting for it.
I would love to see Monterrey get knocked out of that competition. But Vancouver in first place with 9 points. San Diego FC has got 7. San Jose with 6. Minnesota United with 6. And Los Angeles with 6. Los Angeles coming off of a loss, Damian Perez. That's Los Angeles FC. Obviously, you have the Galaxy and you have... LAFC. They lost to the Sounders 5-2. And then how about, I believe they were able, or no, this is their round of 16. They lost 2-1 to the Crew.
Yep.
In CONCACAF.
Yep.
So
they're on a 2-game skid. Sounders and the Columbus Crew.
So coming up, I believe the Crew are going to be going back to...
Which also hasn't had the best start to the season.
Or Columbus. No, I apologize, Damian. I'm wrong. That was the second leg. I'm so sorry. I'm used to the Inter-Miami schedule, Damian. But LAFC and Columbus have already played their 2 matchups. That game happened yesterday between LAFC and Columbus. But LAFC advances to the next round. Damian, if Inter-Miami gets through against Caribbean in the round of 16.
That's our opponent.
They're going to be playing LAFC.
Who had a scare.
And hang on. Riz has a buddy that works for LAFC. My good friend Dave Dennell. He's a play-by-play announcer for ESPN Radio in LA. He's a Cleveland guy like myself. Damian, he helped me get a couple of guests on the show. I'll open up the curtain. He's the plug. He's the plug who got me Glenn Crooks, the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC, and Glenn Davis.
Sounds like a
for
great
Houston.
Guy.
Oh, he's amazing. We will be talking to Dave Denholm coming up next week on Pink Smoke. You could take that to the bank. But that is, nonetheless, looking around and going around the MLS with our good friends at Audi.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
How about Galaxy?
Marco Royce.
Last year's champion.
Yeah.
3 games, 3 losses.
And obviously last year's champion in the playoffs. I am just so used to soccer and, you know,
right,
no playoffs. But the Galaxy won the playoff run, obviously.
It's like the claim to the throne.
I'm a bitter Inter Miami fan. How about that? I'm a bitter Inter Miami fan. But obviously what Damian's alluding to, they won the playoffs. They are the champions of the league. They have good players with the likes of Marco Royce, former Borussia Dortmund player in the Bundesliga German league.
Ricky Puig, which, yeah, I don't know if he's back from his ACL surgery.
Puig is a former Barcelona kid.
Correct.
So they have talent on that roster. It's just not as meshed. St. Louis beat the brakes off of them, Damian. Did you watch that on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, 3-0. It was in L.A., too.
I got home from Inter Miami and was able to catch like the final 30 minutes of it. The game was already over. The game was already over. So that is a surprising result, definitely. It's a long season. And that's what I reminded Heron fans. Like, a lot of Inter Miami fans were texting me, Riz, why isn't Messi playing? And I'm like, guys, we're so early in this thing.
Very similar to how it goes in the NBA. All you got to do is make the playoffs.
Right.
The playoffs is a brand new season. You would love to be in the upper half, you know, ideally that 1 or 2 so you can have that home field advantage. But in reality, I mean, if you really have faith in your squad, all you got to do is make the playoffs.
Damian, that player, give me the player, excuse me, on Inter Miami that maybe hasn't shown much yet, that you think is going to have a huge impact for the Herons as we progress through a long season. I reminded everybody, Damian, I think we're playing games into October, so everyone better strap in for a very long, long season.
Yeah, I got to go with Yannick Bright. I think Yannick Bright is going to be he's going to take that next jump. I know last year he's a fan favorite last year, you know, homegrown kid,
yep.
Home drafted kid, but I think he's going to take that next step, and we saw it in that last game. He was commanding in that midfield. He was throwing megs in the midfield, risky megs. You know, he was the tackles that he was celebrating like there were goals. I think he's going to take that next step, and that leadership is really going to show this season.
I think, Damian, it's Fafa Pico. If Lionel Messi weren't playing in these fixtures, I think he'd be starting over Kramaski. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fafa would be on that right side. Tadio would be on the left. And obviously, another goat in his own right, Luis Suarez, your boy, the Uruguayan, Damian.
Yeah, and
you love all your Uruguayans.
There was questions
baby.
About Luis Suarez. I know there's people criticizing and asking the question: is he done? Can he do another season?
Oh my God!
I mean, I think he shut that up.
I think he proved that against Houston, where he had 3 assists in the first half and a goal in the second half, the decisive goal that made it, 4-0 before Houston was able to pull back one late in that matchup. But as we mentioned, our Inter Miami Herons doing battle in Jamaica. All reports out there is that Lionel Messi is traveling with the team and is expected.
You got him starting?
I do. And that's what I was getting to.
We should find out very soon.
I told you guys, Elias Bustamante, who works at our sister station as well, 760 AM ESPN Deportes, and you as well, who works over at 760 AM ESPN Deportes, Damian. And I told you guys, there's no injury. It's a long year. Messi is buying time. Messi is trying to stay healthy, and he knows that this is a good team. He knows that this is a team that is going to be able to put results up when he's not in the starting
11. I mean, he said it. He even said it this season that he's here to win every single trophy.
Right. And I think right now the trophy that's taking precedence is the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and as it should. We're on to the Elite Eight after this.
See, I think both MLS and the CONCACAF Champions are a priority, but the MLS is easier to manage than the CONCACAF Champions. I think CONCACAF Champions, you have to show up every single game, night in, night out.
Yep.
Where the MLS, you can kind of treat it like a marathon. You can manage games. You can sit here and there and just stay in that playoff. Like we mentioned, just stay in that playoff in the standings so that you're in the playoffs. And CONCACAF Champions, you can't go to Mexico and lose or tie in Mexico.
No, you have
to try to win those
games.
That's where you get the advantage. So,
Damian, that's why I told you, one of my good friends, Greg, who we've been watching CONCACAF soccer for a long time, when I was hooting and hollering about Vancouver getting a result and winning at home or getting a draw at home, my buddy Greg goes, Mike, they're going to get smoked in Mexico. Yeah. It's Damian, those fans are crazy.
It's a different atmosphere.
How many times have we seen slurs be chanted in those games? I mean,
you have to have thick skin to play in Mexico.
You definitely do. You don't want to be on the wrong end of those Mexican fixtures for sure. And that's who Inter Miami lost to last year, Monterrey.
Yep.
You know, Monterrey got the better half of Inter Miami.
And this year they got Sergio Ramos.
Yep.
So they're even better.
Exactly. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. This has been episode number 4 of Pink Smoke. Appreciate my good buddy Damian Perez making his Pink Smoke debut. Good job,
man, it's
D.
It's a pleasure.
And just a reminder, Damian Perez, myself, and Elias Bustamante, we're going to have a football. We call it football, but a lot of you guys call it soccer. We are going to be having a soccer podcast starting up this Friday. It is going to be called West Palm FC. It is going to be on ESPN West Palm Play. It is going to be a YouTube-based podcast. So be on the lookout for that. We'll deep dive into Inter Miami just like we do on Pink Smoke, and we'll talk about those crazy Champions League fixtures that just happened today. As I said, sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll catch up with you next week on Pink Smoke.